The reason that marriage is a picture of life is because it's either a good picture or a bad picture. It's like a good marriage is as close to heaven as you can get. A bad marriage is as close to hell as you can get. The reason that we talked about this morning at the breakfast meeting, and I've got to repeat it, but the word helpmeet is what a wife is to be to the husband, but it's also what each other in the body are supposed to be to each other. And the helpmeet means a companion antagonist. You don't hear that a lot in how to be good wife school.
Ever.
But to be an antagonist, to be a companion antagonist, the word means that the word companion has as, you can't pay attention to the antagonist until you understand the companion. The word companion means that I am with you till the end. I'm with you till the end and beyond. I know that. I'm anchored in that. Now, you know, that's what we in a position of knowledge say to each other. I'm with you till the end. But I don't have to see, and somebody doesn't have to, I'm not, you know, I don't see Tylene in the morning without makeup, or I don't see, she doesn't see me with my eyes red and the hair every which way. There's a different dynamic that takes place in a marriage than it does in among the brethren. And the dynamic that it takes is that you see each other without any pretense, because you are in a position where time has become your enemy in with regard to the act of being good husbands and wives. You understand what I'm saying? Now, modern activity tries to avoid this. I mean, I've got several friends who they are married, but
I knew that would be. I knew I wasn't gonna give
away
that, but I thought I'd try.
But they live in different houses. They even live in different parts of the country. I know one married couple that lives on different continents, and they say, "Well, we're perfectly happy. We love this arrangement." Well, of course. But it denies the purpose of marriage. Now, the purpose of marriage is that we would see each other without makeup. Now, I'm not just talking about the makeup, the kind you put in your face, but that you would see and know each other without any defense mechanisms, without any pretense. To see you at your worst. Now, to see you at your worst, if this concept of forgiveness isn't here, you're dead in the water. Because you can't maintain the illusion of what you tried to pretend you were. You understand that? Now, the idea of having a companion antagonist then is someone that would constantly wear away at the pretense. Someone that would constantly wear away and question your motives. Someone that would always, you know, and it busts you terribly. Someone that questions your sincerity. There's only two people that question your sincerity, your spouse and your preacher. That should be the case. You understand that? Now, the problem with the companion antagonist theory in modern marriages, the modern world is that people tend to marry themselves. You marry people who are the same as you. And you do that to avoid the antagonism portion of the component. You marry people with common idolatry. Oh, aren't they wonderful? They come from the same family, it comes from a good family, and they come from the same school, and they go to the same church, and And they live in the same neighborhood, and they marry themselves. 99% of people who marry them, 100% of people who marry themselves get bored. And once boredom sets in, only those with courage get divorces. Once boredom sets in, cowardice sets in. Once cowardice sets in, then death arrives, because you're living in silence. There's two people in the same house with totally different agendas, totally different worlds. So the idea of marrying yourself or marrying someone even that you like, especially marrying someone that you think you love, it's like, do you understand romantic love is a new thing in history? That's why in the ancient times it was arranged, the marriages were the arranged marriages. And the ones with wisdom, the people that arranged it with any wisdom, arranged it so that the marriage wouldn't, you wouldn't marry yourself. And then what happens is the people then grew in love. Love became that seed, if you will, that grows in the song titles. Now, when you say I'm in love with you, mostly it doesn't mean anything unless there's the test.
It's an emergency need for voice.
The bottom line of all this is, and where I'm coming from, is that think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that has come upon you to try you as though some strange thing had happened. Do you know why we gave the blessing to the marriage of Daryl in September? Because I knew she'd bust the crap out of him.
My wife. I had a darn fine job.
The darn fine job she's done.
No, I mean, when you were saying earlier about you married yourself, I kept thinking to myself, I did as well as I could, and yet, still.
No. You didn't marry yourself.
No, I would have. I'm saying I tried. But instead, that is not what I got, and it's okay.
But face it, the thing that it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe that the idea of suffering is something that would be, or of antagonism and suffering, or tribulation, would be something that we would glory in. The idea that you would know that that was the purpose, that it was not strange that that would take place. But can you see that, the reason that Terry and Susan are not like each other. They're not, they will bust each other badly. Now, I'm not saying that, and I pray that they don't. Even in this, Tyra and I aren't like each other. I mean.
This is true.
Nope.
Huh?
Not even.
Yeah, the things that happen are, I mean, I was saying that if you're married or if you're dating someone that's closer like you, that it's doomed for disaster. I'm just saying that here a different dynamic is at work than it is in the rest of the world, as far as I know. It's the idea that the purpose of marriage at the bottom line then is to wear away at your idolatry. But it's also this incredible thing is to give you this sense. It's the male's position to give the woman this total sense of security, that she's loved. I mean, what? The idea that you are loved, that the bride is loved without condition, just as she is. She doesn't. There doesn't need to be any change. If that can take place, then the security comes in a way that's mind-blowing. It comes in ways that it doesn't matter how much money there is, nothing that you normally think of. But if you cause that security to be questioned, and and it becomes a grasping she-tiger. I mean, you know, it's a grasping for self, for a sense of this and that and this and this and this. But it's not this and this that's even the dynamic. It's the fact that there's a desire to know that there is acceptance and love forever without condition, that there's no performance necessary. Now, it doesn't happen that way because people mess up. But there has to be, the thing that's here is that there's a witness and there's a willingness to open up to that arena. There is not one how-to, you understand? I'm so bored with how-tos, I can't do the how-to stuff. I don't know how to do how-tos. I don't know how to do this or how to do that. All I know is, what I really know is what it isn't. Now, no matter what I say, if I tell you something that you can do, it's not preaching. If I tell you something that you can do, it's psychology or it's something, but it's not spirit. The purpose of preaching is to bring you to the end of yourself. So if I tell you something you can do, it's I'm robbing you and I'm robbing God. I got a letter from, and the idea is that she cannot do anything that I say. And she's confused by it. And so therefore she thinks she has to leave. You understand? I can't do what I say. I can only turn from self. If I turn from self, then I'm not taking a stand. But the idea, I said all this to begin the talk about forgiveness. Because forgiveness has no, forgiveness can't be faked because you'll be caught. You'll be caught unawares. The next time something takes place, you will accuse the person that you have allegedly forgiven. You know what I mean? Somebody know what I mean? Huh?
That's an easy one to get.
Is that a good one to get?
I have experience with that.
We had a great example of that last night. We got in a fight in a car. We were on our way to my parents' house to have dinner. And I don't even remember what the fight was about. But it was just very obvious we hadn't forgiven each other. And I mean, no matter how we tried to talk about it, we couldn't forgive each other. I mean, it was just, you just have that feeling when you know. And then finally something happened and it was really terrible. Because you could say the words, we both did. Oh, I'm really sorry. You know?
I don't say that very often.
Well, forgive me.
Huh?
Forgive me.
Yeah, it was like that.
No, sometimes Tara and I, when we have a fight or an argument or something, I mean, I'm not able to talk to her. I can't, you know, I can't act like, you know, if I get mad at somebody in the world, I can, you know, if I wanted to, I could just act like I wasn't mad at them. But she'd know in an instant if I was faking it. So I don't fake it. It makes her mad. No, that's not fair. Are you okay? You just sleepy? All right. We ready? Can everybody understand why? I mean, It's.
Well, you ruined my big sermon. I had a big sermon today and you ruined it.
You had a big sermon?
Yeah, I was explaining to one of our members that it's a female's job to be a companion antagonist. That it's not a guy's job.
No, it's a guy's job too.
And obviously I was wrong.
It happens.
But the point of this is that we talked about this morning is that there's essentially now 5 days left before the wedding, and the anticipation is that at the wedding, time will end. That's the celebration of the eighth day. So at sundown on Saturday, time is going to end. Now, to have on the right garment for the end of time, there can be no spot where the garment is spotted by the flesh where you have not forgiven someone. Now, it's bad enough not to have forgiven someone that's like in your past. But if you haven't forgiven someone that you call a brother, I mean, that's like, it's like it's both a spot and a wrinkle or something like that. It's like, I mean, I don't know what it means, but it's really going to be bad. I mean, if it's like it's going to be like double thousand hot seat time or something like that. You know what I mean? I mean, it'd be a lot easier just to sort of deal with it. Let's forgive each other now, right?
So then, like by Saturday, you'll apologize for what you said about this morning.
What did I say? I forgot.
Telling strangers I was your father.
Yeah, but that's what he's mad about, is they believe me.
So, Harry, you're better off forgiving, just not bring it back up.
No, he said he's mad at me because I told strangers today that he was my father and they believed me.
Gosh, you're so young. You're so young looking. How do you keep your skin so soft?
But anyway, the point of it is I am glad that she is doing what she's doing. I can't explain why. I'm not mad at her. I'm not upset. I'm glad that she is... I think now that there's a chance that what she's been going through can be worked out. So I'm happy she's doing what she's doing. It may not look like any, it looks bad, it looks this, blah, but I'm glad it's happening. Okay. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?
What verse? 21.
21. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was bought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. The Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. You know, and again, the amounts here are massive. I mean, the 10,000 talents is like more than you can count. It's billions. The pence is just pocket change. And he laid hands at him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And this fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Now, by the way, this is one of the verses where they got the idea of a debtor's prison from. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then said his Lord, after that he had called him unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest thou not also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due to him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses.
Does his brother mean everyone?
Well, that's the point. You don't know that. You don't know who his... You don't know whether or not that... The word brother there means... is literally someone out of the same womb, but you don't... I had no idea that any one of you would have been my brother. And I have no idea who's going to be my brother tomorrow. So there, by the way, the word brother here isn't a sexist term. It's a word that means out of the same womb. Now, the lesson of this is the first lesson, is to know the totality of what you've been forgiven of. If you don't know that, then the rest of this is meaningless. But what does it mean? We don't have any debtor's prison. It's illegal. Debtor's prisons are illegal. But what does it mean to put someone in prison? To throw someone that owes you something into prison? We're not talking about a few cents or $1,000. We're talking about a debt that you believe someone owes you. Mostly it's an attitude,
yeah,
or a behavior, or a word, or an action.
Like whenever anything comes up again, you may say you've forgiven them, but it all just comes rushing right back. Same for us.
What what you do with them is you throw them in prison. You put them in prison until they have met and paid the very last farthing, according to your standards. And you do that because you don't know what you've been forgiven of. Now, and you do it mostly when you're unaware. It's like, that's why things that happen to you unexpectedly are a blessing, because they show you the places that you haven't forgiven. Or that's why the things that take place in a marriage, and a male and female, when you're caught with all of your pretenses showing, all of your angina showing, all of your sincerity questioned, and you get furious. That's where you know. That's where the reason you react with such violence outwardly. It's because you don't know you're forgiven. You understand that?
Can you go through what forgiveness is?
What?
Can you go through what forgiveness is?
Forgiveness, in its ultimate form, means to appreciate the person for what he did, the person for what they did. Because without that, you could not have been or seen or be where you are. So no matter what it is that took place, no matter how vile, no matter how terrible, it's eventually an appreciation of that person. Because without that act having happened to you, you could not have been here now. So every time we do the toast where it says, I bless the Father. I can't even remember the toast, but where we sanctified, glorified, kept at this time, well, we are affirming that we are that everything that has happened to us up till that time was by the hand of God, and even though we may not have liked it at the moment, if it didn't happen exactly that way, we couldn't have been here. That's a rough one.
Yeah,
it's more than just saying it's okay that you did this to me, because there's plenty of people who love to raise themselves up on that.
Yeah, because that becomes an act of self-elevation. Now, this is something that can't happen without the Holy Spirit. Man cannot appreciate someone that has just stepped all over them without the Holy Spirit. You understand that?
Well, and part of this deal about forgiving yourself is that even all those things that you seeing this other side of the coin, that all the things that you've done that you're ashamed of, or that those things, you had to do those as well in order to get you to this place, even if you're a mass murderer or whatever.
And it's without, it can't be, there can be no exceptions to it, otherwise it's not true. The bottom line here is please, over the next few days, first of all, consider what you've been forgiven of. Consider that you have, in this parable, been the one that's been forgiven of the 10,000 talents. And then look and see where there's been where there hasn't been true forgiveness, where there's just been some sloughing it off, or you've made some kind of a truce, or some...
How?
sickening thing where you just sort of let it lay. Don't do that. That's it's spiritual death to have a truce. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Push it to the wall, whatever it is. And use this time. See, as we are celebrating this marriage, this wedding, that it really signifies that time is about to end, and that we don't have time not to forgive. And it's too silly to hold on to any of these. And I know you've got the hidden resentments and the hidden. But seek them out. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody have anything else?